The final solution of God, number four, in our studies of the nation of Israel and its relationship to what is happening in the terrorist attacks in the world today, we have learned that Israel was sent into Babylon as captives for a period of 70 years of discipline because of their rebellion against the Lord, their persistent rejection of the warnings of their prophets. This took place in 605 to 536 BC. King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian Empire finally brought an end to their rebellion. He, acting as a servant of God, in fact, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, broke down the walls, and burned the temple. The Jews themselves were taken captives into Babylon. Among these was a young man named Daniel, who ended up in government service in Babylon. Near the end of the allotted 70 years of captivity, Daniel, in studying the book of Jeremiah, discovered that the period of discipline was specified for that 70 years, and adding up the time, he realized that they were a year or two from the end of that period. And so he went to God, and he wanted to know, Lord, when can we go back to our land, and when will all the covenants be fulfilled? The covenants which eventuate in a kingdom with our Messiah Savior ruling from Jerusalem over all the nations of the world. God's answer was delivered to Daniel by the angel Gabriel, Daniel 9, 20 through 23. Daniel was told that all the covenants and promises with Israel would be fulfilled in 70 years of weeks, which was 490 years, Daniel 9, 24. There was never any if in this promise. These are unconditional covenants. Israel may rebel and she will be disciplined. Israel may turn her back upon God and she will be brought down, but he will preserve them. He will never permit the Jew to be destroyed. Next Sunday night, you will see how magnificently that has been taking place in world history for the Jewish people. And I must stress to you that all this bunko of the amillennialists and the postmillennialists is just more of Satan's delusion that there is no future for Israel. Satan's behind it. He's a big liar. God has said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I will discipline you. Now, Daniel was told that all the covenants with Israel would be fulfilled in 490 years. The starting point for the counting of those years would be the decree of the Persian king Artaxerxes Longimanus, issued on March the 4th, 444 BC, authorizing the Jews to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, the walls, and the temple. Daniel 9:25a. The end point of these 490 years would be the ascension of the Messiah Savior to the throne of the kingdom of Israel as ruler over all nations from Jerusalem, the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ on this earth as a result of the second coming of Christ. The 490 years, furthermore, was divided into three parts, Daniel was told, Daniel 9:25a through 26a. Part one was a period of 49 years during which Jerusalem, the walls, and the temple would be rebuilt and the worship ceremonies all resumed. Part two would be a period of 434 years during which the Jews would live a normal experience of daily life in their own land, the land of Israel. Part two, the end of the 434 year period, ended exactly on the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt, an animal that had never been ridden before, and presented himself as per the prophecy of Zechariah that he would so identify himself, came riding into Jerusalem to offer himself now to be accepted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the Jewish nation. This was on Palm Sunday, March the 30th, 33 AD. The Bible is always specific. The Bible is always exact. That's why we have told you that when Jesus said that he would be in the tomb for the period of time that Jonah was in the belly of the whale, it's exact. It's not approximate. It's not about. It's only theologians that mess around with the exactness of Scripture. And Jonah was in that whale 72 hours. And that's why we know that Jesus Christ was in the tomb, the belly of the tomb, 72 hours. That's why we know that he was crucified on Wednesday, not on Friday. But part two has ended. Jesus has come into the city and the people received him. They welcomed him as the Messiah Savior by shouting, Hosanna, which is what Psalm 118:25 said they would do. Hosanna, which means, Lord, save us, we pray. Save us, we pray. Hosanna, Hosanna. Now, when some people in Jerusalem, having gathered there from everywhere for the Passover festival, asked, "Who is this man riding on the donkey?" Others answered, "It was Jesus, the prophet." The prophet, a technical term in Scripture to identify the Messiah, Savior. Matthew 21, verses 10 through 11. Now this title, the prophet, comes from Deuteronomy 18, 15, we showed you, where God told Moses that he would in time send the nation the prophet that would be like Moses and would be different in the fact that he would be a God-man, he would be the Savior of Israel. So here's the term, who is this man riding on the colt? It is the prophet. And everybody, Jews knew their scriptures, they said, this is the one that Moses told us of. Satan has appropriated this identifying title for his false prophets, such as Joseph Smith of the Mormons, who is called the prophet, and in most recent history now, Muhammad of Islam, who is also constantly referred to the prophet. And when the mullahs, the imams, the religious leaders of Islam speak of the prophet, they always add, blessed be his name. And the prophet, Muhammad, blessed be his name. He is the prophet. The lie of Satan is in the mouths of these religious leaders. Muhammad, Joseph Smith, they are not the prophet. Jesus Christ is the prophet. But this satanic, clever satanic deception, this ruse that Satan has pulled off, has created counterfeit prophets who do not speak for the most holy creator God, but for Satan, the God of this world, who does want to be worshipped. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, was rejected on Palm Sunday, that first Palm Sunday, as the Messiah Savior by the religious leaders of Israel, who turned the previously adoring, welcoming crowd against Jesus Christ, and by the end of the week, had him crucified on Wednesday by the Romans. So what we have here is two segments that have been fulfilled of the 490 years. 49 years, restoring the city, the walls, and the temple. 434 years, in which Israel progressed into the time when the Messiah arrived. So after 483 years, those two figures total, the time schedule for fulfilling Israel's covenants with God and making Israel the leading nation of the world with the Messiah Savior ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all nations was still 7 years short. 7 years short of the 490 years that Gabriel told Daniel that all prophecy promises, all covenant promises would be fulfilled. So now we come to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Then after 62 weeks, 434 years, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. At the end of the 62 weeks, 434 years, Messiah Savior did arrive. He had his 3 years of ministry, and on that first Palm Sunday, 483 years to the date from the time that Artaxerxes Longimanus issued a decree to rebuild Jerusalem, he was cut off, which means he was rejected. And the prophetic clock ticking off on its way to the fulfillment of the covenants stopped dead. The pendulum hasn't swung once since. So we have 1 year, 1 week of 7 years of these covenant promises that have not been fulfilled. What has happened was that between the 69th and the 70th year, to complete that period, a great interruption. Everything stopped when they rejected the Messiah Savior. Now the Jews have never put this together, so they're still stumbling around trying to figure out these 490 years, thinking that it's already passed, which obviously would be from Daniel's time. But the 69th year and the 70th year, the break. Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer described this break with the word intercalation. He said he liked to use that word because it means inserting something between two things that has nothing to do with what comes before and nothing to do with what comes after it. And that's exactly what happened. In this intercalation came the age of the church. Here is a special thing that has never been revealed in the Old Testament, this special thing that God was going to do to create another people who in fact would be superior to the Jews. It would be made up of people, backgrounds of both Jews and Gentile background to form the body of Christ, who would be related to the Lord Jesus Christ as his very bride. Israel was related to Yehovah, God, as his wife, his unfaithful wife. But the Lord Jesus Christ will have as his bride the spotless, clean, faithful church. And so we have 7 years unaccounted for. Now the poor amillennialists, postmillennialists, the amillennialists who say there is no earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ, the only kingdom is in heaven, the postmillennialists who say that Christianity is going to bring eventually a control of the whole world and then Christ would come after that for 1,000 years, they have no explanation for this at all. The Protestant reformers blew this completely. They never got over the mistaken notion that the church had replaced Israel in the plan of God. Consequently, they didn't know what to do with this. And the result is that they never got anywhere with understanding the full grace truth of doctrine, the grace age, the power system of living through doctrine and the power of the Holy Spirit enforcing the mind of God within a believer, enabling you to do what is right. So you still walk into their churches, and what do they have up front? A good-looking preacher in front of a movie screen? No. An altar. They have an altar. And the preacher is still up there going through all of his rituals and doing his liturgy and the vocalization. For what? An altar is for sacrifice, so that God is propitiated toward us. No, he is satisfied. It's an insult to have an altar in a church. He is already propitiated. God is satisfied. Sin is not a problem. It is your rejection of the covering for your sin in Jesus Christ. That's the problem. For that reason, the Lord Jesus Christ said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that is why Jesus says the door is small to eternal life. And the book of John says Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. And the way is narrow. And Jesus says he is the way. So who goes to heaven? How could Jesus say, with all the religion in the world, that few there be that find the road to heaven? That most of the billions and billions of people that have lived will be in the lake of fire? Jews do not go to heaven because Jesus is the way and they will not accept him. Those who do, they're saved. Gentiles do not go to heaven with all their religious systems because they do not accept Jesus Christ by a free grace salvation. Some Christian groups who accept Christ as Savior speak of him as Savior as Roman Catholicism does, that he has covered their original sin, but they must by their works also pay in time for their punishment, have interjected works, and Ephesians 2:8-9 says not by works. So no Roman Catholic goes to heaven who believes his church's basis of salvation. Certainly all the hocus-pocus religions of the East, Hinduism, your self-godhood, the New Age movement, none of those are focused upon Christ as a way. So there is no hope. And the result is that the blindness is compounded when you do not understand the revelation to Daniel and the time schedule. And that in this period, this intercalation between the 69th and 70th week, a great and marvelous provision has been made, the church and the provision of the Savior. Israel, during the church age, has been temporarily set aside by God. And the operative word there, folks, is temporarily. All the Protestant Reformation's descendants are wrong about saying that there is no future for Israel. Matthew 21, verses 42 and 43. Jesus says, therefore, be on the alert, speaking to Israel, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Matthew 21, verses 42 and 43. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scriptures, speaking to Israel's religious leaders, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? This became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord and is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus Christ, of course, is that cornerstone. Verse 43, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the fruit of it. Yes, Israel is coming under divine discipline and she will lose her absolute blessing. Now, what Jesus is doing here is he's quoting from Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus was simply quoting this passage from Psalms to identify who he is. And he was applying this scripture to Israel's religious leaders who would kill the Son of God, Jesus the Messiah. And they understood what he was talking about, and they hated him for it. Now, Matthew 21, beginning at verse 33, a little more extended reading of this passage again now. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. And when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive the produce. And the vine growers took his slave and beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterward, these, by the way, are the prophets of Israel who kept coming with the message of God, and they kept throwing them out. But afterward, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine growers, Israel, saw the son, Jesus Christ, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? They said to him, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons. Got the picture? I'm going to jerk Israel out. They rejected my son. I'm going to take him out of the vineyard of blessing, and I'm going to put Gentiles in there, the church body, in place of blessing. But not in place of Israel, in place of blessing. Then Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scriptures a stone which the builders rejected? This became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and be given to a nation producing the fruit of it. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomsoever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. So the picture there is very grim. Verse 45 goes on and says, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they understood he was speaking about them. And when they sought to seize him, they feared the multitude because they held him to be the prophet. Aha. So Israel's leaders were blind, and the people were being led to their destruction by listening to them. Jesus was saying that Israel's leaders were leading them against their master, Jesus Christ. Consequently, they would lose kingdom blessings, and it would be given to others who accepted it. Now, after the church age, which ends with the catching up of believers into the air called the rapture, then the kingdom will be returned to Israel as a nation. And then the final 7 years of Daniel's 490 years will be fulfilled. That 7 years, however, is going to be a time of terror such as the Jews and the world has never known before. And remember, what are we talking about? We're giving you the background of what is happening in the terrorism in the East. And now the government has told us on the news this week, it is now 100% certain there will be another terrorist attack in the country. So get ready for it. The malignancy is everywhere. Does make you want to wonder and think, doesn't it? United States, never mentioned in prophetic scriptures. Is this what happens? The terrorism simply takes this nation down out of the picture completely, so it's not even there as a factor to deal with. In Daniel 9:26, after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. That means he'll be executed. This is a term for execution, refers to his crucifixion. And after the 69th week, the 483rd year, he will be cut off and he will have nothing. What will he not have? He will not have his rightful place as King of Kings over Israel. He will not receive the royal position in the line of David, in which line he was born. He will simply be completely rejected. John chapter 1, in verse 11, we're told that Jesus came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Who were his own? The Jewish people. He came to Israel, and they did not receive him. So we have this, Daniel, remember? This is like 800 years before it happens. Daniel's being told, this is going to be terrible. 483 years, I should say, before it happened, Daniel is told that he's going to be cut off. And then we're told that the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The people of the prince. Who is the prince? The prince here is the final head of the restored Roman Empire in operation during the 7 years of the tribulation period. He is the Antichrist. He is the one who is referred to by other titles. One of the titles he has is in Daniel 7:8. He's called the little horn. Daniel chapter 7 and in verse 8. While I was contemplating the horns, the 10 horns, the 10 nations, a confederacy of 10 nations in Western Europe, another horn, a little horn, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it, and behold, this horn possessed eyes like that of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. Well, as scripture unfolds, we find that it's exactly what's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to conquer three nations in the confederacy, and the other seven will say, who can make war with him? Let's join him. And he becomes ruler over the Western Confederacy of 10 nations, where the old Roman Empire once reigned. This will begin the tribulation period for 3.5 years. He will be riding high while the sealed judgments are being poured out upon mankind. And then, in the middle of the tribulation, Russia makes her move with the Arab allies against Israel, and God brings destruction, fiery destruction from heaven upon them. Only a sixth of the Russians get back to their country. At that time, a political vacuum is so great that the Antichrist becomes a ruler of all the world. Now, this is what is being brought together. And all of this terrorism, all this fear, is ultimately going to say, give us a leader. Give us someone who will give us peace. And the Jews will rush into the arms of the Antichrist. So Daniel, chapter 9, verse 26, he'll have nothing. The people of the prince, the Antichrist, who is to come, that's the Roman, the Romans were the people of the prince, the Gentiles. He'll destroy the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary, and its end will come. In 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. The city of Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by the Roman general Titus. 37 years after the death of Jesus Christ, this prediction was fulfilled. And then it says, the end's going to come like a flood. Now, this very incident was discussed by the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, in Luke chapter 21, the divine judgment, the terror judgment upon Israel. Luke chapter 21, verse 24, it says, and they will fall, the Jewish people, during the tribulation, time of the Titus attack, will fall by the edge of the sword, and will be led captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. We are now living in the times of the Gentiles, and Israel is going to be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. Ariel Sharon, Prime Minister of Israel, made a bold statement the other day that Israel is not going to lie down for terrorism, that Israel will defend itself. Israel will not accept Islamic terror over them. Cause a fit in the White House. They got Powell on the phone, told Sharon to knock it off, quiet down, same thing this government has been telling them, lie low, take the blows, take your deaths, instead of defending themselves. Now, if the United States doesn't stand by Israel, who is there that's going to do it? Who is there who's able to do it? That's what's happening with the terrorism in the East. Even this nation now is fearful of what might happen all over this world if they get the Islamic world up in arms against us with their billion people. And so Israel once more is left out in the cold. Now, when Titus came in, he killed 1 million Jews. And the rest of them that were left in Jerusalem that survived, he scattered all over through other nations. And Jerusalem and Israel was left a wasteland. 70 AD, exactly as had been predicted to Daniel. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 38, Jesus said, "Behold, your house is being left to you desolate." Your house being left to you desolate. When did he say this? I'll go back to verse 37. This is the short day or two after Palm Sunday, when he was welcomed in Jerusalem as Messiah Savior. Now things are beginning to turn against him. He is now facing the retaliation of the Jewish leaders. They have determined to kill him, and they're going to arrest him. They made the deal with Judas, and the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting, perhaps on the Mount of Olives, looking down upon Jerusalem. In verse 37, Matthew 23:37, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate." I wanted to teach you the word of the Lord, Jesus said, and I did teach it to you. I spent 3 years informing you, but you wouldn't listen to doctrine. You wouldn't listen to the truth. You would not subject yourself to the will of God and the authority of God as represented in me. Instead of coming rushing to me like a little chick who wants to cuddle in the warmth and the care of her mother's wings. Little chicks do that. One time, we had a Sunday school teacher that got carried away on Easter Sunday and gave all the primary kids a little yellow chick to take home. And we got one. And I would take that little creature and put it on my desk while I was studying, and it would come there and sit under that warm light. And then when I put my hands like this, he learned to come rushing under it, and I'd put my hands around it, it would be warmth, and he would sit there picking his head up, smiling at me, yellow little hair all over him, and then he'd sit there, and when I put those hands, he'd come running under. I was his mother, and my hands were his wings. A very tender picture. The security under the wings of Jesus. Didn't want it. How many times have you absented yourself from church because you didn't want the security of the mind of Christ, of the word of the Lord, because you had better things to do? Israel says, we got a better future than to be under your care. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, what I could have done for you, what I could have taught you, what would have happened had you responded? So the result is that the prince, which is the Antichrist, Jesus is warned that all of this is going to come down on them. And finally, in 70 AD, it happened. Now the Jews are scattered all over the world. It wasn't until 1948, May of 1948, that they finally got a country back, part of it, again. Daniel 9:26 furthermore says, to the end of the period of Israel's cutting off, during the church age, when Israel is cut off, she will suffer wars and desolation. Destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end will come with a flood. 70 AD it did, and then even to the end, there will be war, and desolations are determined. Do I need to explain to you what the history of Israel has been since they rejected Jesus Christ as a Savior? The Jew has always been under desolation, under war. And some of you are old enough to have lived through the era of World War II and the destruction of 6 million Jews, and a heartless treatment of the Jews, even by the United States government, a whole boatload of them that had real authority to land in Israel, New York, who'd come to this country hoping for a refuge, and President Roosevelt refused to let them land, and they were turned back to Israel, and many of them finally died under Hitler's attacks. The Jew has been nothing but wars and desolation. Who can protect us? Who can protect us? And it's going to be to the end. What's the end? Second coming of Jesus Christ. And the end, specifically, of the future 7-year period. So these events of Jesus, of the Jews' dispersion, thus are not part of the 70 weeks. This dispersion happens between 69 and 70 weeks. But when the Jews get to the 70th week, then all hell breaks loose on them. That's when it really becomes horrendous. So we read in verse 26, desolations are determined. What follows is that a covenant is made by the Antichrist with the Jews in verse 27 of Daniel 9. He shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. This does not happen until something else happens. The next thing that is to happen in prophecy, that is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the next thing that's going to happen at any moment. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Jesus revealed through the Apostle Paul the church being caught up to meet Christ in the air. That will end the era of the church age. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, and that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, those who have died, Christians in the grave. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, Christians who are living on the earth at the time of the Lord's arrival and remain until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Christians in the grave go first, then we who are alive follow after them. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, Gabriel's call, and with the trumpet blowing reveille, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, we Christians who are alive on the earth and who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You got that, folks? Jesus Christ does not come down to the earth. Got it? We meet him in the air. The amillennialists blow it off. The people of the Reformation churches blow it off because they are not exact students. They do not respect the meaning of words in Scripture. This is the rapture, not the second coming. So we meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Everything is okay with us. And the Christians who have already died, their souls and spirits are in heaven. They know how okay everything is. And they wouldn't give anything to be back here with us. They're happy to have been the advance party. So the rapture takes place. Now the Antichrist can come on the scene. Until the rapture takes place, the Antichrist cannot come on the world scene. So in verse 26, in verse 27, and he will make a firm covenant. Who is the he? Well, he refers back to verse 26. That's the nearest antecedent. He is the prince, the one who is to come. That is the Antichrist. He'll make a firm deal, a covenant with the Jewish nation. He is in charge now of the 10-nation confederacy. He is a little horn of Daniel 7, 8 we showed you. And he will make a covenant with the many. The many refers to the people of Israel, the Jewish people, who will be living in their land now during the tribulation era. A peace covenant is made with the Antichrist, who promises political and religious security for Israel in the face of all the anti-Semitism that is being pressed against them by the Arab world. They will do what the United States has been doing. He will now protect the Jews, and they will receive him gladly. Antichrist, at the beginning of the tribulation, will be posing as a prince of peace because he wants to imitate Jesus Christ. He is Satan's false counterfeit Christ, and Israel will accept his protective care. This enables the Jews now to rebuild their temple, to resume their ceremonial sacrifices and worship rituals. And as you may know, the Jews are all ready to begin this. They've got the utensils, they've got the people gathered that they can identify as much as they can who are of the line of Aaron, names like Cohen, which is a Hebrew word for priest, and they are ready to go. They've studied how the rituals are performed, they're ready to start the sacrifices. As soon as we are out of here with the church, they will move in here, take this over as one of their synagogues, use our new PA system, my overhead projector, and they'll be off and running with the sacrifices. So this looks pretty good. But verse 27 says, in the middle of the week, he, the Antichrist, put a stop to the sacrifices and the grain offerings. After 3.5 years of the tribulation period, he double-crosses the Jews. This is history, folks. You and I don't know whether we're going to see this from heaven or not, but we're not going to be here. Satan, at the midpoint, now becomes the world ruler. He is finally what Satan always wanted, to produce a world ruler in place of Jesus Christ. He offered the deal to Jesus, you know. Satan offered the deal in the garden of temptation, in the garden of the wilderness place, the temptation event. He said, I'll give you the nations of all the world if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus didn't take the deal. The Antichrist will. And now the Antichrist will be indwelt by Satan. He will have full demonic powers. At this point, he will move his headquarters from Babylon, which is being rebuilt now, which will be the commercial and religious center of the world during the tribulation. He'll move in the mid-tribulation, he'll move his headquarters into the land of Palestine. It's the land of Israel. Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, points that out to us. Daniel 11, 45. And he will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion between the seas, between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean, and the beautiful holy mountain, Jerusalem, and he will come to his end, and no one will help him. So now the Antichrist believes that he is God. He has everything going for him. He's thrown out the Jews. He's turned against them, and they are fleeing for their lives. The Levitical system of worship and sacrifices against stop, and a number of the Jews, I suspect, are going to go to Petra, outside of the territory. The Bible tells us, interestingly enough, the southern part, which is not controlled by the Antichrist, and which has a narrow entrance, sometimes only as wide as putting your two arms apart for people to come in. That's why it was always in ancient times an enormous defensive position in Roman times. And they will go back to Petra, because what does the devil want to do? What is he doing in New York, Washington? The terrorism has one objective, so there's not a single Jew alive on the face of the earth. That's it. He started it when he tried to kill all the children 2 years old and younger when Jesus was born, hoping he could kill Jesus then. No Messiah, no kingdom on this earth. If there are no Jews to go into the millennial kingdom alive, then God cannot fulfill his promise to Israel to make them the leading nation of the world with their kingdom upon this earth. So the Antichrist, the political power over this restored Roman Empire, the Antichrist now has a false prophet, who incidentally is the third member of this Trinity, Satan, Antichrist, false prophet, Satan representing God the Father, Antichrist representing Jesus Christ, false prophet representing the Holy Spirit. And what they do is they establish the universal religion, the ecumenical religion of the world, undoubtedly based upon, I suspect, Roman Catholicism. This is what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's why it made me a little bit uneasy to see that ecumenical religious service that the president had, understandable prayer and remembrance service in behalf of the victims of the terror, and had the Muslim imam, religious leader there, speaking about Abraham, Muhammad, and Jesus. Jesus, low man on a totem pole, because he's not God. The Muslims say he is just a man. He is a prophet of God, respected, but Muhammad is the last prophet. And now that eventuates under the terror of the Antichrist. And here you've got this conglomerate that you had at that prayer and remembrance service, a Roman Catholic prelate who doesn't believe that you can get this heaven by the grace of God. So he's not going to heaven. And the Muslim who believes that it is his good works and the power of Muhammad who brings him there, he's not going to heaven. 2 Thessalonians, the world religion is coming. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. The day of the Lord is what Paul is talking about. It's not going to come until the church is out of here, folks. That's the first thing he says. The day of the Lord, two phases. The phase of judgment, of tribulation, the phase of blessing, the millennial kingdom. Let no one deceive you, for it, the day of the Lord, verse 2, will not come unless apostasy comes first, as total falling away of Christendom from the truth, and the son of lawlessness, another name for the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of destruction, another name for the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. What Daniel finally is told, that the sacrifices are stopped, and then the Antichrist has an image of himself placed in the Jews' temple that he has helped them to rebuild, and that his image will be there to declare that he is God and they are now to worship him in that image. That's when the Jews wake up and they flee. Who opposes and exalts himself above every God, object of worship, so he takes his seat in the Jewish temple rebuilt in Jerusalem during the tribulation, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was with you, still with you, I was telling you these things? Some of these people and Christians in Thessalonica said, we thought we were all going to go up to meet the Lord in the air. My mother has died. Some of my children have died. My father has died. They're going to miss the rapture. Now, Paul had spent 6 weeks, that's all, 6 weeks teaching in Thessalonica. And we have 1 and 2 Thessalonians following up that teaching, both books on prophecy. So some of these idiots who don't think you should pay attention to prophecy don't know what is going on in the plan of God, so they don't know what is going on in history. Paul says, don't you remember, I told you these things. And you know what restrains him now, holds back the appearance of the Antichrist, holds back the arrival of this evil, so that in his time he may be revealed. What holds back evil now, the appearance of the Antichrist? The Holy Spirit who indwells all the believers. When the Spirit goes, then all hell can break loose on this earth. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. There he is, God the Holy Spirit. He restrains how bad society can be. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Another name for the Antichrist, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all the power and signs and false wonders. Hey, charismatics, did you read that? Satan is going to have even more power than he has now to perform miracles and signs and wonders that the charismatics blubber over because they're emotionally oriented and not doctrinally oriented. And with all the deception of wickedness, for those who perish, got this, these who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. They didn't love the truth of the gospel of the grace of God, so they were not saved. And now, when you won't receive doctrinal truth, you stay at home, so you're not instructed. You listen to it, and you rebel against it, even though you have been shown in Scripture this is what God says. You know what the result is? Here's what it would be for them. It's a principle that applies to you and me. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. So you want to get your life messed up? Just stay at home. You want to get your life deluded? Just be resistant, rebellious against the instruction of the Word of God. Just find all the ways that you can to get out of serving the Lord, out of being His steward, out of investing your life in eternal things. Just find all the ways you can to trivialize any moment with your focus upon this earth and things instead of the eternity above and ahead. So God says, if you will not accept the truth, then I will give you a deluding influence that you'll believe what is a lie. The people who are in Islam are not stupid. People who are in Mormonism are not stupid. They just won't accept the truth. So God says, fine, I'll give you the delusion. You want that? The people who don't believe in security of salvation are not stupid. They just won't accept the truth of God's revelation. Verse 12, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. You did not appreciate what God had for you, and the result is God takes it away from you, and you can go ahead and enjoy the wickedness that you choose. This terrorism in our society is preparing for the final terrorism of the tribulation. And it is happening at Mach speed now. More than we ever thought in our lifetime we would see it. And if most of you get to heaven through death, I'll be one surprised person. Most of you are going up in the rapture. The second coming conditions are all there in line. So the rapture is any moment. The return of the Lord is at least 7 years from this date.